Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
President Obama's final overseas trip has been a reassurance mission about what might happen in the next 4 years under Donald Trump. But in leaving the Trump victory bubble in the USA, President Obama returns to the global refugee crisis. The president lands in Germany today, the country that has been seen as a leader in its response to Middle East refugees, taking in 1.1 million refugees in 2015. Amidst the distractions of the U.S. election, the catastrophe in Syria and Iraq goes on. Rena Shanawani is a Syrian-American who came to New Jersey as a refugee years ago, and this past summer she decided to pack up and leave the U.S. election bubble with her teenage niece along for the journey and travel to two refugee camps in Greece, Karamanlis and Frakapur. She spent 5 days with SCM Medical Missions, and it was a journey that changed her forever.
This is something that I just felt I had this incredible compulsion that I had to do something, even though I felt like it was a drop in the ocean. We left at the very beginning of the conflict, and we were very mildly touched by what was happening in Syria when we left. And I somehow felt that I needed to go back and do something and just be able to feel it. And I had been working with Syrian refugees in Elizabeth, New Jersey since last year, and I still felt this incredible compulsion to have to go overseas and do something in the field, on the ground, where it was, where I felt like people needed us most.
You were someone with memories of Syria. They have memories of Syria on their face. What's that like, to both have memories of the homeland, but to be in this place that really you have no connection to?
It's this fascinating paradox because on the one hand, they've all come over from the world's greatest humanitarian crisis of our time. Like you said, rubble, bombs, shelling, explosion, running for their lives. They somehow get smuggled into Turkey and then get thrown onto these rafts, make it across the sea, and then make it to these refugee camps. And they're trying desperately to be reunified with family in Northern and Central Europe. And they're just completely gobsmacked. They don't understand what's happening, when things are going to change. Everyone kept asking me as if I was some kind of informant and I had some secret information. Hey, Rena, do you know anything? Do you know when we're going to move? And I had nothing. And so now they're in these giant warehouses in the middle of this industrial area in Greece, and they're just at a loss.
You've got Mohammed, who was at Frakapur camp.
They put 500 to 1,000 people in each camp. They imprisoned us as if we were prisoners. The food isn't good. The water comes only 4 hours a day. It's not clean. The garbage is everywhere. Once they filled 40 garbage trucks to take all the garbage away. There was no medical staff or cleaning crews. The people are getting frustrated because they spent all their money. Those that had money are now broke. Psychologically, we fell apart. I used to receive psychological treatment, and now there's none. So what do we do?
What was it like to hear from him all of the sort of complaints about the refugee camp?
It's amazing. They keep repeating the same sentence. They keep saying, I'd rather be under the bombs, under the shelling, with the chances of losing my life being very high, than being in this camp, in this situation, not knowing what's happening to me, having no hope, aimless, idle, and just sitting around and waiting.
Some of the people that we meet in your encounters here describe how they had psychological treatment, you know, at another stage of their journey, but they don't have that here, and they really, really miss it. But by far, the most shocking thing was to hear the desperation in the voices of the parents who see their children missing that period of life where they would be educated. You heard that again and again.
Yeah, that was really, really tough. I think that was the toughest thing, is just that the people are so upset that these kids have lost up to 5 years of schooling. And you have kids who are 10 and up who have never seen a school, who are completely literate and are desperate and hungry for some kind of life, for some kind of children's life, for education. They all have dreams of getting their diplomas, moving on, having proper lives, being able to provide for their families, as are the parents who just are desperate to be able to themselves learn the English, move on, find jobs, and be able to provide for themselves. And I just feel like this is a pressure cooker ripe for the radicalization picking. You have people who are saying that they had perfectly beautiful, normal lives. All of them loved Syria, and they all had houses. They all had cars. They all had lives and jobs, and they provided for their families. And now they're there. They're completely dismayed. And I feel like this can only go wrong. This is a lose-lose situation for everybody in the world, the Syrians and all of Europe and all of the West. It would be a perfect win-win situation if these families were able to move on. Let them get the language skills. Let them be able to provide for their families, provide for the economy, become stable, and not be at risk for being radicalized. This is everybody's problem.
Why have you escaped this? Because you could be one of them.
I think about that all the time. If I didn't have American citizenship, I would be there. I don't know what would happen. Either I would be stuck there just listening to the bombs and the shelling, which, by the way, I still have family that's still there that talk about it all the time. And it's amazing how they talk about how they've just gotten used to the sounds and life goes on. And everybody has lost someone. There's no exception to that. And I feel like at this stage of the game, this story, somehow I feel from the lens of Westerners, I feel like this story has become old hat. I feel like people are numb to it.
And people had very powerful messages for the Europeans, and we're happy to share them with you.
Yeah, they sure did. And one of the messages was, we're so sorry to be a burden on you, Europe. We never meant this. We all had great lives. All we want is to move on. All we want is to be settled, have homes, and send our kids to school.
Rena, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Rena Shanawani is a Syrian-American mother who volunteered with her teenage niece at two refugee camps in Greece. She's now in the process of starting a nonprofit called Refugee Outreach International, designed to teach English to new refugees.